John Stephen Aquari. He cramped up, and later he tripped over some other runners, injuring his shoulder and knee. The knee so bad that he dislocated the joint. Still he ran and walked some and then ran some more. He pushed on and he never thought of stopping. He finished the race. The race, the men's marathon at the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. And when he finally crossed the finish line some 60 minutes after the medal winners, a reporter asked him why he didn't give up when he had no chance of winning. He said, "My country, Tanzania, did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Friends, God did not send you and I here to just start the race as his disciples. No, he sent us here to finish the race that he has set before us. Even if it means along the way we endure pains and struggles, stresses and frustrations, hurts and hang-ups. We have been sent by God to endure the pains of our cross training for the good of the kingdom. So today we push on. We look at the importance of being physically fit as part of our cross training. Let me explain, continuing with a long distance theme. Anyone who has run at all knows that eventually you're going to hit the runner's wall. Some of us feel it at the thought of running. Others feel it at the beginning. And for others, it's a long distance in. You feel tired. Your legs start to feel like jello, and you have this internal conversation with yourself. You say, "I can quit, or I can give up right now, and I can try it again tomorrow or the next day." You might even tell yourself that running isn't for you. But what happens when you break through? What happens when you break through the runner's wall? You come out on the other side changed. You have a second wind. Your legs don't hurt. The voice in your head telling you to quit is silenced, and you push on as these natural endorphins flow through your body. Being physically fit is an important part of our cross training as it helps us push through to the end. To the end of the race that God has set before us as his children. And so to do that means that we need to care, we need to steward the bodies that God has given to us to the best of our abilities. Now, in our society today, the main reason for exercise is focused on outward appearance. And for some, along with the benefits that come, better health, and if you do get sick, you're able to beat it a little bit quicker. But here's the thing. As disciples of Jesus, we're called to be different than the rest of the world. So our reason for talking about this, our reason for studying God's word, our reason for taking care of the bodies that God has given to us goes beyond just having huge arms or dropping a clothes size. But this also means that when we study the Word of God, the answer isn't to just skip exercising altogether. Now, please understand this. I am not calling you out here, anyone. I am not telling you to go and run because maybe you just physically can't run. The effects of sin in this world have taken you to that point. I'm not telling you to stretch, to walk, to swim, to bike. I'm not telling you to split more wood or walk behind your mower. I'm not putting any of that on you today. What I hope to do today is through the work of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, to move us all to better understand the reason we should consider pursuing a regular exercise plan in our lives. First, it's important for us to remember, as Chad said, the gift that God has given to us. It's the gift that you and I see every single day. So we wake up and we go brush our teeth and we look in the mirror. Our bodies. We talked a little bit about this back in our Easy Commands teaching series on the importance of taking care of our bodies, and we did that in relation to the sixth commandment. But today we look at the importance of taking care of our bodies to keep our hearts pumping and our bodies strong to help us keep going even as we get older. So let's begin by thinking about what we put into our bodies for fuel. Invite you to work your way, if you'd want to join us there, in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And now as we're working our way there, let's think about what you eat and drink. Think about what you eat and drink. Okay, so Daniel 1, beginning there in verse 8, it says this. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. So let's start off here with the king's food. What's the king's food? We have to remember now here in Old Testament times that God's law prohibited his people from eating specific foods. So this is one reason Daniel and his buddies were choosing to not eat the king's food. It wasn't lawful for them to do it. And they were also choosing to not drink the wine that the king drank. Now understand this here. Two, the law, the wine was not unlawful for them to drink. Okay? They could drink wine in moderation. But too much wine, well, you know, it can affect you. It disrupts sleep. It often causes headaches and becoming lethargic. Amongst other things, don't believe me? Just ask Solomon. He'll explain it to you in his Proverbs, chapter 23, beginning with verse 29. But God has also given Daniel great wisdom. So he probably knew that what he put into his body affected him. It affected him, and it also affected how he could best serve God. So this all led Daniel to ask the chief eunuch to allow him and his three buddies to not eat the king's food. Look here at verse 12 and following. It says this. Daniel said, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. They asked for vegetables and water. And that was it. And for 10 days, that's all they ate. That's all they drank. And what happened? There was a noticeable difference. an apparent difference between Daniel and his buddies and the rest of the king's people, the ones that ate that diet. And so then the chief eunuch allowed those boys to continue to eat their vegetables and drink their water. Now, there's a few things here that we have to pay attention to. First, 10 days is very, very quick for such drastic changes within one's health and how one looks. So we know here that God's mighty hand was involved. But second, the food that Daniel and the company ate was healthier for them. And studies show, you all know this, studies show that the healthier food you eat, the better it is for you. For a sound diet maintains the body's hydration and muscle tone. So as his disciples of today, we honor the body that he has given to us. And yes, that means by eating healthy. This isn't to say you have to be a vegan or a vegetarian or give up your fine wines and beers. No, this is just our reminder from God to take care of the bodies that he has given to us. By maybe sometimes enjoying less of the Burger King's food and more of those nutritious foods that help our hearts pump and bodies stay strong. But it's not only the food that we put into our bodies, but also what we actively do to take care of these bodies. And once again, we all know, our doctors have told us that regular exercise is important, whatever it may look like for you. It's also important in our cross-training as disciples of Jesus because we are called to serve him and others. And serving others is exhausting. I can tell you that. Serving others is exhausting. And the better shape that we are in as we serve others, the more we can do with our bodies as they're healthy and strong. Think about this for a second. What do you use your strength for? Don't tell me, but what do you use your strength for when serving others? How about babies? Do you hold babies? Do you want to hold babies? Do you want to care for those babies? Yeah, and then those babies get bigger and they get heavier. So what do we need to do? We need to have strength to care for those kids. Another one is just simply what God tells us to do as disciples. What does he tell us to do? It's two letters. G-O. He tells us to go. Right? God tells us to go. Where does he tell us to go? He tells us to go to our families. He tells us to go to our friends. He tells us to go to our neighbors. He tells some of us even to go to distant lands. And how do you do that? You use the strength that God has given to you. You use your body to go and serve others. You use that to go and tell others of Jesus and his love. You go to your different neighborhoods, and for some of you, your neighborhoods look like gyms. You see, gym memberships aren't just for you as a follower of Jesus to get in better shape. Do you know that? It's also a great place for you to form relationships and share Jesus, all the while taking care of the body that you've been given. Take my father-in-law, for example. Both my father-in-law, Jeff, and my mother-in-law, Lynette, have memberships to Planet Fitness. And over the years, as my father-in-law, Jeff, has gone to work out at Planet Fitness about the same time every single day, guess what he's done? He's formed relationships with those that are working, but also with those who are working out around him. And by forming relationships at the gym, he's had conversations and then more conversations. And this has even led to him sharing the gospel with these people. And in some cases, guess what? He's become a big part of their life. Funerals, weddings, I think even maybe a baptism has come out of him caring for the body that God has given to him and allowing relationships to happen for the good of the kingdom. The regular exercise routine in our lives, see, it not only brings us physical health we need, but it also brings us that chance to meet other people and share Jesus with them, all from the elliptical or the treadmill. Okay, I know this might not be your favorite message, but what we're hopefully starting to see here is the importance of how we eat and establish this exercise routine for our own physical health, the spiritual health of others, but also our spiritual health too. Now, someone asked me how in the world I was going to connect these two verses. So this is what we're going to try to do. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see how we're connecting these verses for us today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin there with verse 7. Paul writes this: "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." You see, it says it right there in verse 8. Bodily training is of value. Regular exercise helps to keep our brains awake. It helps to keep us alert. And this is important for us as disciples of Jesus, who are to be ever growing in our understanding and doing of God's word. Look at how it continues there in verse 9. It says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things." Bodily training is of some importance so that we can share that which is of the greatest importance. We toil, we strive, we take care of ourselves because we have our hope in the living God, the Savior of all people. Because then Paul says, teach these things. And so what do? We teach them. What are we doing at church right now? I'm teaching you what God says. What do you get in Bible study and missional community from one another? You're teaching each other these things. We teach others what we have been taught. Jesus crucified, died, risen, ascended, coming back again, sins forgiven, new life given. And to do this, this means that we press on. We press on in our cross training, like Elijah, David, and Paul. You see, so when we hit that wall, we press on toward the call that is ours of that upward prize that you and I have in Jesus. And today that meant we looked at God's word in a different way. That meant that we understood in part of our cross training is to be physically fit followers of Jesus. Now I'm about done, so don't worry. But as I often do, I want to end with a challenge. Wherever you are in your physical fitness cross training, I want to challenge you to take your next steps. Maybe it's to take on the Daniel challenge and forgo the king's food for 10 days and eat clean. Maybe it's to talk to someone at the gym and forge a relationship with them. Maybe it's to push a little bit faster, to break through that exercise wall. making your brain a little bit more alert as you tune into God's word for something new to be revealed. And maybe it's just getting back going. Walking a bit. To help steward the body that God has given to you. Whatever it is, it's up to you. But friends, it is my prayer that as you take your next steps in your physical fitness cross training, that you may see God's love for you in Jesus. Stewarding the body that he has given to you to the best of your ability, basking in his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness and love. Moving you to not only greater physical health, but also greater spiritual health as you complete the race that he has set before you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.